So this morning, I want to focus with you for a few moments on this idea of the possible and the impossible. In this world of sin and trouble, how does way open? How does a way open? How do we find the pathways that lead to justice, to peace, to wholeness, to the shalom of God? Is it possible, or just simply impossible, to find such a pathway to life? This is always kind of a good question to ask, something to think about. But in light of the mass shooting at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, where 17 were brutally murdered, it kind of focuses your mind once again on just such a question. Now, right now, is it really possible to change things or not? The survivors of that shooting, those high school students, if you've been paying attention to the media at all, are setting out to go to Tallahassee, to go to Washington, to try to change the gun culture in this country. And they're being joined, as the Berkshire Eagle reported yesterday, by students all across the country, including some here in Pittsfield, who on March 14th, the one-month anniversary, are going to have some walkouts, maybe big marches in Washington, trying to change things with their passionate and eloquent and heartbroken voices. But are they on a fool's errand? Is it just naive of them to do such a thing? Are they, as some websites have put it, just pawns of the anti-gun conspiracy? Are they just up against immovable forces, against intractable foes that will not ever let any sensible, common sense gun safety laws be passed? Is change just impossible? After all of the gun shootings we've had, is change just possible? Or is it possible that on some deep instinctive level, these students have found their way to what I would call the way of the cross? The way of the cross that has as its endpoint the transformation of this sinful, troubled world into something holy and beautiful. That's the path that the way of the cross is. So let's explore for a few moments this whole idea of the impossible and the possible. By definition, the way of the cross is impossible from the human standpoint. As the prophet Isaiah said a long time ago, God's ways are not our ways. And that other way of God did not begin with Jesus. The way of the cross starts way, way before Jesus, all the way back in the days of Abraham and Sarah, in the first few pages of the Bible. And even there, the world was a mess. Violent, thoughtless, cruel people were running things. And God decides it's time to intervene, to change things. And so God chooses a particular family in order to make those changes to the course of human affairs. And so God picks an aged family, an aged couple with no children, Abraham and Sarah, to make a beginning of change, to bring a new generation to birth. So wasn't that a fool's errand? Wasn't that rather naive? Wasn't God just up against the intractable foe of basic human biology? Which is precisely why Abraham laughs. Hey, I'm following a God who's a fool. That's basically what he's saying. But in the course of Genesis, we discover, Abraham and Sarah discover, that with God, all things are possible. Starting with nothing, or with very little, with a couple of 100-year-olds. Changes come in the course of human life, even as the messes continue. That's what the Bible is. Mess after mess after mess, and yet God is at work doing the impossible, the impossible, the impossible. And it happens, these changes come, new buds come forth, because human beings are willing to be fools, to be naive, to follow in this way. And as they do so, way opens before them. much like my daughter Meg, going descending into the dark woods and that hole in the trees. This is not possible. But you take one step, one step, one step, and way opens. When you listen, and remember that God walks with you. And so then we have the Gospel of Mark. The first 8 chapters, Jesus has this really successful ministry in Galilee. He preaches, he teaches, he puts evil to flight all over the place. And then he makes this turn, which is right here in our passage. And he tells his disciples, I'm destined to go to Jerusalem, to go to the very center of power, to confront the religious authorities, to confront the authorities of the empire, to confront the very people who are holding all of us in bondage. And Peter, being rather smart, says, that's impossible, Jesus. You do that, you won't survive. That won't work. What you got to do is compromise. You got to back off. You got to accept that this is just the way the world is. You stay here in Galilee. You don't make too many waves. You can have a really successful ministry. Good things will happen. Cool it, Jesus. And Jesus says, I have to do the impossible. I have to go to Jerusalem and speak truth to power. I have to follow in this way, even if it leads to the brutality of the cross. Because that's the only way something new will open, which Jesus describes as rising from the dead, being the firstborn of a new creation, being the one through whom a door opens for the shalom of God to come into the world. Peter doesn't buy any of it. Hey, I'm following a fool. But then Jesus turns to the whole crowd and he says to them, it's not just me, folks. You are to take up your cross. You're to follow. You're to live into this impossible way. Because that way is already within you. Because that way is already seeking to be born through you. It's here. And when you listen to the call, when you follow the way of the cross, you discover way opening before you, before us, into a new world. Will you listen and follow? That's what Jesus says, what it means to be a disciple. And it's where the church came from, even when it forgets so often and makes compromises and backs off, does all its other stuff. So there's our scripture readings, but they take a very poignant moment right now, because we have leaders in our country right now who are saying that the way to respond to school shootings is to arm the teachers, to bring more guns into the schools. And the head of one of these intractable foes of any kind of gun control is saying the way to respond to these school shootings is to harden the schools, to turn them into forts, little fortresses. And since mass shootings don't just happen in schools, we're going to have to harden the malls, harden the plazas, harden the nightclubs, harden our churches, turn the whole country into all these fortresses, because in the mindset of these leaders, nothing can stop the flood of military-style weapons in our society. And so when those voices are at the center of power, we need to rise up. Like those students from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. We need to rise up like Jesus and follow the way of the cross and simply say no, no to this evil that keeps coming at us. We need to choose to do the impossible, to listen to all the voices that say, no, 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 nothing can change, nothing can change, and just say, no, we're going to do it anyway. We're going to do it anyway so that a new door, a new way will open. Because in Christ, that new door has already opened within us. And when we listen to that voice within and among us and in the scriptures, and when we stop being intimidated and silenced, when we let go of our fears, when we open ourselves to the Spirit, then we can speak in compassion and love and truth and live out our faith, the way of the cross, so that a deeper way opens in the world. For we create the way by following the call of love, which has always been the way from the very beginning. And it didn't begin with Abraham. It begins in the very heart of God who created all of this. And God is at work in holy ways. And when we listen to that love, then nothing's impossible. May we hear this Lenten message. May we live it faithfully. In Christ's name, amen.